everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Ramswire Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva, and you can follow us on Twitter at the Ramswire. We've got a lot to get to today. It's the first time ever the Rams have lost back-to-back games, so it feels a little bit different recording this right now. But the Rams are in the midst of a two-game losing skid, two games left in the season, still in contention for the number one seed, still hold the number two seed over the Bears. So all is not lost with that game against the Eagles, but they do have some work to do. They do have an injury to take care of and to monitor, and they do have some issues to work out on the offensive side of the ball, especially with the way that Jared Goff has been playing. So we'll get right into it. We'll recap the Eagles game, the loss by the Rams, talk about the upcoming schedule with the Cardinals and the 49ers, how the Rams are going to approach those games, and what happened with Marcus Peters during the game, how Jared Goff has played, and the playoff picture moving forward. So beginning with the Eagles game, as you all know, the Rams lost 30-23. It was a really disappointing game for them. They went into it as 13-point favorites. Some betting lines even had them as 13.5-point favorites. So no matter how you cut it, they were huge favorites over an Eagles team that was starting Nick Foles, didn't have Carson Wentz, was missing four starters in the secondary. Their starting middle linebacker Jordan Hicks was still out. Tim Jernigan wasn't playing. So this was a game that really I didn't see any way they could lose. Obviously, in the NFL nowadays, and in any sport, really, you never truly know what's going to happen. But with a Rams team that was coming off a loss to the Bears, was playing seemingly with some added motivation, needing to bounce back and avoid losing their second straight game under McVay for the first time ever, you would think they would come out firing, put up a good performance the way they did before the bye, and just they fell flat. The offense didn't do enough. They only scored 23 points, which by most team standards is solid, but for a Rams team that has only had only scored fewer than 30 points twice in the first 11 games, it was a really a letdown by the offense. And the defense didn't do enough. Obviously, Jared Goff's turnovers gave them short fields to work with, but it just allowing 30 points to a Nick Foles-led team with the way that the Eagles had been playing, which hasn't been well, it's a disappointment for the Rams. So they're going to need to once again bounce back, or at least try to, against the Cardinals. But there are some issues to get through, and the biggest right now is the play of Jared Goff. He's been playing terrible. I'll get into it more in depth a little bit later in the show, but just touching on it, he didn't play well at all. It wasn't his worst performance of the season, because that came against the Bears last week, but he certainly didn't have a good game. He was 35 for 54, 339 yards, no touchdown passes for the second straight week, two interceptions, and a passer rating of only 66.8. As sad as it is to say, Nick Foles outplayed him, made fewer mistakes, had a higher passer rating. You never really expected Goff to be outplayed by Foles in this one, especially considering Foles hadn't played since week two. But it's difficult to fathom how poorly he has played, and just the overall struggles that he's had since the bye week. The third and one play where he tripped over John Sullivan, picked up the ball and tried to get rid of it inexplicably, is just a mistake that you see from a rookie quarterback and not someone who is coming off a Pro Bowl season, and really having a good year up until that bye week. But he's making rookie type mistakes. He has the worst passer rating in the NFL the past 3 weeks. One touchdown pass, seven interceptions. No matter how you cut it, it's been a terrible stretch of games for him, and it's something that the Rams have to work out. So I'll go a little bit more in depth in that later in the show, but just have to touch on that, of course. And then the other big news to come out of this game was Todd Gurley's injury. Sean McVay said on Monday that he has knee inflammation. He's listed as day-to-day. He didn't specify whether he was definitely going to play on Sunday against the Cardinals. The Rams are going to monitor that and keep an eye on the way that he's healing. But both Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport said on Monday that he's on track to play against the Cardinals, and the injury is really not viewed as anything serious or significant moving forward. So the Rams did get good news there. He left the game for about a series, came back and really put forth a valiant effort. He had 10 catches, 76 yards, and then another 48 yards on the ground on only 12 attempts. But it was just for him to gut it out, and knowing that Justin Davis was already out and John Kelly was the only backup running back left, it was an impressive performance by him to stay in the game and really not miss a beat as far as his workload goes, touching the ball 22 times. On defense, the Rams just didn't do enough to get to Nick Foles. He wasn't sacked at all. He was only hit three times, once by Donald and twice by Dominican Sue. It was a letdown performance, based on the way that the Rams defense had been playing a few weeks prior. They played well against the Bears. They played well against the Lions. Obviously, they were torched by the Chiefs, but there aren't many teams who play well against that offense. So to have no sacks against the Eagles, obviously their offensive line is great, and it's an impressive unit, maybe the best in the NFL. But when you have someone like Aaron Donald, and then you have Michael Brockers and Dominican Sue next to him, you expect to at least get one sack and hit him more than three times. You're not going to force him into many mistakes when you're not pressuring him, and the Rams didn't do that enough. Donald was effectively shut down. He only had one quarterback hit, like I said, two tackles, no tackles for loss. That's two straight games he's gone without a tackle for loss and sack, which I don't know if teams are beginning to figure him out, or if he's just not getting enough help, or what the deal is with him. But he's been effectively shut down the past two games. So, and it really goes to show how reliant the Rams defense is on Aaron Donald. They're 16-0 when he does have a sack since Sean McVay took over last season, and they're 5-7 when he doesn't. So, obviously that's not the only determining factor of whether the Rams win or lose, but when he doesn't have a sack, the Rams rarely do much to give him any help or really provide any pressure on the quarterback if he doesn't do it himself. So that's a bit of a concern moving forward. The Eagles did a good job. Jason Kelce's one of the best centers in the league. They have a good interior offensive line, and they did a good job against Aaron Donald, and it showed. Nick Foles looked comfortable in the pocket, and he didn't really have much pressure around him. Dominican Sue has really become one of the more disappointing players for the Rams this season. They're paying him $14 million. He had three sacks in the first five games, and since then, he only has half a sack. Really just a disappointing season for him. He hasn't had a tackle for loss since week five. He's getting tackles. He had nine against the Seahawks, and then he's had 17 in the past three games, but you're paying him to make tackles behind the line of scrimmage, whether it's sacks, whether it's tackles for loss. You want him to be disruptive, and he just hasn't done that enough this season. Really down the stretch into the postseason and in these final games, they have to hope that he can get something going, whether it's at the nose tackle position or rushing from that defensive end spot that they use him at. But he just simply has to be better. So does Michael Brockers, and so does the defense as a whole. But one player who really is playing well right now is John Johnson. If you caught the game on Sunday, he was someone who really flashed on the screen. He was seemingly everywhere. He had 14 total tackles. That was the most on the Rams and tied for the most in the game with Rasul Douglas. He made two key third down stops. I posted those on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. You could check those out. And then he had that pass breakup on Zach Ertz in the end zone to save a touchdown. and really limit the Eagles to 3 points, which if Ertz catches that pass, the game is even more out of hand. And it's even more lopsided than the 7 point margin was. And maybe the Rams don't even have a chance to tie it at the end. So that was a huge play in the game. He was all over the field, and without him, the Eagles probably would have scored more than 30 points. So good to see him playing well, but he needs some help from his friends, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. They had some struggles in coverage. They allowed two receivers to get behind them on that big play to Alshon Jeffrey. Talib was beat multiple times by Jeffrey on the right side of the field. He obviously did have that big interception, which really kept the Rams in the game and gave them a chance at the end. But just as far as coverage goes, he has to be better. And I don't know if it's the ankle injury that he's still recovering from. He said last week that he's not yet 100%. But regardless of what the reasoning is, he has to be better in coverage. Speaking of Marcus Peters, I'm sure you all caught wind of the video that surfaced on Monday. It was a fan behind the Rams bench that was apparently heckling him. The video started with Peters walking over to the stands, so we didn't get the full video of how it started. But Peters walked over, asked the guy where he was from, yelled a few expletives at him, which I'm not going to obviously share, but you can check out the video. It's on Twitter and on the Rams Wire. We linked to it, so you can check it out there. But basically, Peters just confronted the fan, yelled at him, and then apparently went back to the bench. Obviously, not a good look for the Rams or for Peters, who is a player who frequently is in the spotlight for either things he says or doing things like throwing a flag into the stands like he did last year. He's never afraid to show his emotion out there. And even though he didn't go into the stands or make any contact with the fan, it's certainly not a great look for the Rams or for him. He does have a history of outbursts and saying never mincing words really when either he's talking to the media, talking to players, situations like this. But it is something that he has to be better about, and he does have to be cognizant of how he's handling himself on the field, whether it's with fans talking to him, receivers talking to him. He can't let stuff like that get in the way. It's hard to fault him for going over to the fan and telling him off, essentially, if he was heckling him throughout the game and giving him problems. But I'm not really sure exactly what the case was. Taron Killam, who's an actor and a huge Rams fan, shared on Twitter that he saw the whole thing happen. Really, it was Peters didn't want to let it go, apparently. Someone in the area learned that it was possibly high school beef between Peters and the guy who was yelling at him. So we don't really know the full story. Sean McVay doesn't either. He addressed it with Peters and said that we've got to be better in those situations, and we can't be doing things like that and taking our focus away from the game, which is part of what made it really worse than it could have been. You don't Every now and then you get fans who yell at players leaving the field or coming onto the field before a game. And sometimes players respond and say something or make a hand gesture towards those fans, but it's not often that you see it happen during a game. I think it happened with Leonard Fournette a few weeks ago, where it was during a game and he confronted the fan. But you don't want to let things like that get into your head while the game is going on. It's hard to blame Peters if the guy was yelling at him the entire time, but this is something that he's just got to let go and kind of put out of sight, out of mind, and not really worry about what fans are saying to him or yelling at him from the stands. After the game, he did downplay it. He said he was just having fun with the fans and not to take it personal, and it wasn't anything really serious. That's not the way that the video seemed, but it's just something that the Rams have to be aware of and keep an eye on Peters with regards to things that he's doing either on the sideline or on or off the field. He doesn't have any arrests or any character concerns like that. It's just sometimes he does have a personality where it can cause some troubles and lead to some issues, which some believe is the reason that he was traded from Kansas City. Like I said, McVay talked to him about it. He's not really sure about whether there's going to be discipline from the NFL. It sounded like the Rams weren't going to discipline Peters themselves and either suspend him or fine him or anything like that. But obviously, that's not something that McVay wants happening to his players on the sideline. I alluded to it a little bit before, talking about Jared Goff and his struggles. It's something that's holding the Rams offense back. They got away with it against the Lions and came away with a win there. But against the Bears and the Eagles, they weren't able to overcome really some terrible play on the part of Jared Goff. In the past two games, he's really struggled more than usual. He has six interceptions, no touchdowns. He's been sacked four times in those games. He's not getting much help from his offensive line, but he's also making just poor decisions. Before Cooper Kupp got hurt, he was having really a tremendous season. And even against the Chiefs when Kupp wasn't playing, he was playing well. And then the bye week hit and everything seemed to fall apart. He's only completed more than 50% of his passes, more than 55% of his passes once in the past three games. His collective completion rate in those games is 54.96%, so at around 55%, which is well below what his season average was before this three-game stretch began. Like I said, he only has one touchdown, seven interceptions, which are the most in the NFL in the past 3 weeks. His passer rating of 51.3 is the worst in the NFL since week 13. So everything about his game has really just gone by the wayside. He's making foolish mistakes. He has three fumbles. It's just been weird to see him fall apart the way he has. He was looking like an MVP candidate, a lock for the Pro Bowl. He's still having a good season, but these past 3 weeks have really just put a damper on the way that he's played, even dating back to last season. You never want to say that a guy is lost mentally or that he's either shook or just not seeing the field as well as he was before, but something happened when the Rams went into that bye week and came out looking flat against the Lions and then putting up two duds against the Eagles and then the Bears. And it's really been at the hand of Jared Goff, who has not played well. The Rams aren't going to win a Super Bowl if he's playing like this. In fact, they're probably not even going to get the first round bye if he continues to play like this, or win a playoff game, or go deep into the playoffs. I know that sounds a bit like an exaggeration, or like I'm being too down on the Rams and panicking, but you can't win football games when your quarterback is throwing one touchdown and seven interceptions over a three-game stretch against, yes, decent defenses, but really only the Bears is a dominant unit that consistently gives quarterbacks trouble. Just a week ago, Dak Prescott shredded the Eagles' secondary for something like 450 yards. It was basically the best game of his career, and now Jared Goff comes out and flubs and has a terrible performance against a secondary that was depleted and didn't have most of its starters. I don't know what caused it. I don't know how it's going to get fixed quickly, but there's no doubt that he is the Rams' biggest problem right now. They've gotten away with defensive struggles. They've gotten away with missing Cooper Kupp, but they're not going to win football games with Jared Goff playing the way he has. So that's definitely something to be concerned about and something that the Rams have to really take care of. And they have to do a better job protecting him. Receivers are getting open for him. He's just missing them way too much. There were a couple of throws that, once again, I highlighted on Twitter where Goff missed Gerald Everett on a wheel route in the corner of the front corner of the end zone. Would have been a sure touchdown. Two plays later, Todd Gurley runs out of the backfield into the seam, is open for a little bit of time, and Jared Goff misses him, throws it behind him, which allows the defender to come into play and break up the pass, and thus resulting in an incompletion. Rams have to settle for a field goal. If they score a touchdown there, then they only need a field goal on that final drive. So that could have been the difference in the game right there. And it's just two throws that we're used to seeing Jared Goff make, and he missed them. So I'm not going to harp on it too much. I've talked a lot a bit about it. I've written about it on the Rams Wire, which you can check out. It's just something that the Rams have to figure out because they're not going to go deep into the playoffs if Goff plays the way that he has the past 3 weeks. Looking forward, the Rams are going to play the Cardinals and the 49ers in the last 2 weeks. Right now, they are 14-point favorites over the Cardinals. I would imagine they would be double-digit favorites over the 49ers too, especially with the game being at home. That is if the Rams don't rest starters, but those are two easy games that they should win, and games that really, if they don't win them, it's time to panic. As far as resting their starters, the Rams did do that in week 17 last year, knowing that their playoff positioning could change based on the results of week 17's games. So obviously Sean McVay is not afraid to sit his starters down, keep them healthy for the most important games, and really not care about the results of an almost meaningless game in week 17. We saw him do that for the preseason. Most of the Rams starters did not play, and although they came out a little bit flat against the Raiders, they did get it rolling in the second half, and then they were playing well for the rest of the season until the bye week. So is that something that suggests the Rams are better when they have momentum and really time off hurts them? I'm not really sure. But there is something to be said about the fact that they've played arguably their worst games after breaks. So it's difficult for it's difficult to say what the right approach is. There's really no right answer for, say, Sean McVay or any other coach who's considering resting his starters. But it is something that the Rams have to think about. One player who definitely gets consideration for being rested these last 2 weeks is Todd Gurley. Obviously, he has that knee injury. It's only been called inflammation, and he's considered day to day. But with the playoffs coming up, with two almost meaningless games, I shouldn't say meaningless. The Rams do have to win them if they want to catch the Saints for the number one seed and at least maintain the number two seed. But do you really want to risk Todd Gurley suffering even further injury to that knee and possibly losing him for the postseason? You already lost Malcolm Brown for the entire rest of the season. I don't know that you can afford to lose Todd Gurley as well. Actually, I shouldn't even say I don't know. You can't afford to lose Todd Gurley for the rest of the season. If he's not there in the playoffs, teams are just going to go away from the run when it comes to defending the Rams. They're going to look for the pass from Jared Goff. The play action is not going to be as effective. And really, it just changes the entire offense. And Sean McVay admitted that the offense looked different with Todd Gurley not out there. When Justin Davis and when John Kelly had to go out there, the offense wasn't as consistent, it wasn't as reliable, and they had to do different things. I don't think you can really afford to sit Jared Goff right now because of the way that he's playing, but do you take a chance of sitting down Brandon Cooks and giving Mike Thomas more time, or excuse me, not Mike Thomas, Ferrell Cooper, Kadarius Hodge maybe? I don't know that there's really any benefit to giving those guys more time on offense, but you can't afford to lose Brandon Cooks. You can't afford to lose Robert Woods with Cooper Kupp already out. So there's a lot to weigh in these last 2 weeks. I'm not exactly a fan of resting players completely, especially for two games. Obviously, the Rams are not going to sit them down this week against the Cardinals with still some games to play for. But I don't really think that they're going to move forward into week 17 and completely sit down guys and go into the postseason, especially if they have that first round bye. You're not going to take 2 weeks off and then have to play a playoff game against someone like, say, the Bears, the Cowboys, or possibly the Seahawks. It's just not something that I think it would be wise. And I don't think the Rams should take that approach unless they do lose that first round bye. But in that case, they would have to play week 17 to for that to happen, because it would have to be meaningful. So I think maybe you limit Todd Gurley's touches a little bit. Maybe you give guys on defense a little bit of a breather. Maybe take Corey Littleton out a little bit. Arrest Mark Barron somewhat with that Achilles injury that he's supposedly overcome, but he hasn't looked like himself this season. So maybe you give those guys a little bit of a breather in the final two games. But I don't think I would sit down anyone completely for these last two starts. As far as the playoff picture goes, this week did not help the Rams at all. Not only did they lose, but the Saints won and the Bears won. So they're all within two games of each other. It goes, the Saints have one game up on the Rams, and then the Rams have one game up on the Bears. So in order for the Rams to get the number one seed, they have to win out and they have to have the Saints lose out. If they just simply tie the Saints, it's not good enough because the Saints already beat the Rams. For the number two seed, the Bears would need to win and the Rams would need to lose one game in order for the Bears to take the number two seed. They own the tiebreaker over Los Angeles by beating them. So you're going to have, if the Bears, say the Bears win this weekend against the 49ers and the Rams somehow lose, they would be tied for the number two seed, but the Bears would have the tiebreaker in head-to-head matchup. And then it would come down to week 17. The Rams would need to win and the Bears would need to lose. So essentially, to clinch the number two seed, the Rams need to win this weekend and the Bears need to lose. That would give them a two-game cushion with one to play. Obviously, they can't catch him. So that would be the easiest way for the Rams to clinch that number two seed. If the Rams win on Sunday and the Saints also win this week, then the Saints clinch the number one seed because they would be one game up over the Rams with one to play. They own the tiebreaker. Los Angeles can't catch them. So essentially, the Rams can lock themselves into the number two seed by winning on Sunday and then having the Saints also win. So there's no flexibility as far as going up or down. So that's kind of what the playoff picture looks like. If the Rams do want to have something to play for in week 17, they have to hope for the Saints to lose. Otherwise, they can go into week 17 with absolutely nothing to play for if the Bears lose on Sunday and the Rams also win. So that's kind of looking ahead. The Rams have, again, a favorable matchup with the Cardinals. Not really much to preview there. The Cardinals are not playing well right now. They've scored more than 21 points once this season. They're the worst offense in the league. Josh Rosen has not played well. He has no help from that offensive line or his receivers. David Johnson is running straight up the middle almost every single time he touches the ball. It's absolutely shocking what they have done to that team and to that offense with David Johnson really becoming a non-factor for the Cardinals this season. So really a favorable matchup for the Rams, a game they have to win, they should win. They can't afford to lose and then have the Bears come up and really control their own destiny heading into week 17. So this is a game they have to win in order to keep that number two seed firmly in their grasp heading into the final week of the season. So yes, there is plenty for the Rams to play for in this final two game stretch, beginning with this weekend's game against the Cardinals. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks as always for listening. We're going to have previews, still doing recaps on the Eagles game. Be sure to follow me on Twitter and follow the RamsWire on Twitter at Cam Da Silva and at the RamsWire. As always, check out theramswire.usatoday.com for all of our content. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next week.